Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. This is Keith over at Pensacola Business Radio, and this is the first official Foodie Life sponsored inaugural episode.
Oh, I've been duped. I didn't know this.
You're in the wrong spot, aren't you? So I've got two foodies that I know. I've got Mr. New York Nick, who owns, operates, runs, sometimes runs from the New York Nick restaurant downtown, Bar and Grill. And I've got Mr. Michael Peavy House, who runs Northwest Florida Food Guy and Friends, which is, well, you're going to have to explain it to him. So feel free.
Okay. What it is it's a site I come up with about 6 months ago to promote local businesses, local eateries, restaurants, mom and pop places, festivals, anything to do really with food. Started out, like I say, 6 months ago with 10, 15 people.
Now you got a lot.
150. Now I've got almost 400 people and almost 1,200 photographs and videos. So yeah,
And I'm surprised you haven't gained any weight because you have been on the eating track, man.
I've actually lost weight. I think it's all the moving around.
So yeah, Nick's making gestures. He wants to go with you.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to follow your lead.
Yeah. Oh boy. So here we are, man. We're a bunch of guys that have, in some way, shape, or form, been in the food or hospitality industry and have all kinds of fun stories I'm sure we can share with you, but, you know, Nick, you're smirking at me, man. Go for it. go for it.
I found out this was what I wanted to do in high school with an uncle that had a massive 400-seat seafood restaurant.
Yeah. I'm jumping in, huh?
The first night, and my eyes just lit up. I said, this is what I want to do.
Was it the cash?
Well, no, but it was nice because when you're in high school and you're a kid, you're 14 years old and you've got a pocket full of money. Yeah, sure. You know, you're able to go to concerts and, you know, buy what you want. And, you know, the day I turned 16, I bought a car. And,
chicks kind of dug it too,
and,
didn't
they? You know, it made it a lot easier because, oh, you know, you got a car, you got a job, you know.
Yeah.
And that was while I was playing sports. You go to school, you go to sports practice, then you go to work and be a busboy, get money, cash.
Yeah, I think I almost started the same way. I was bussing tables. That was probably, I was washing dishes. That was my first job. And then the line cook walked out. And so within like 2 weeks of washing dishes, I was then a line cook, which of course in the restaurant world meant you were moving up, right?
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden I was cooking. I was this little place called Poco Loco down Highway 98, like a long time ago. Where the IHOP is now, but before that, it was like the Fraternal Order of Police upstairs, and it was Poco Loco downstairs. And
was that Gulf Breeze?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, across from Villa Venice.
Yeah, the little. Yeah, I remember that place right there at the corner.
Yep. Yeah. So I was washing dishes there for 2 weeks, and this was back when, I could be 14 and work and not get in trouble. So I cashed my pocket in 2 weeks, and you know, and then I was cooking and stuff, and then. I had to take home ec class in high school, and I realized I was actually pretty good at this stuff, and it was getting me out of the other classes because I was like, hey, I'm going to go help my home ec teacher. And man, the next thing you know, I was cooking.
And it was full of girls.
Yeah, who were like, dude, you can cook. That's cool, you know? So, you know, and so now, and of course, now I'm doing radio. So, you know, somebody wonders how, but for 22 years, man, I've seen some wacky nonsense.
I did both. I did both. I was from high school within the restaurant business. And then I knew I wanted to be a DJ. I knew I had no musical talent and as far as coordination to play an instrument. So I became a DJ in college. I was a bartender and a DJ. And then I did all that, both of them all these years. I was on FM radio down here for 10 years too, while I was on the beach bartending. But then, yeah, the food thing, I knew eventually my dream was New York Knicks.
Yes.
After all these years. And I knew I had to get everything else out of my system. I mean, I was came down here for spring break. I'm sure you might have done the same thing coming from the top of Alabama,
right,
Michael?
Right.
And then, you know, I spent 20 years on the beach in the daytime behind the bar, and then at night on FM radio.
Yeah.
And then I got it out of my system. It's never out of your system.
I was gonna say it's kind of there. I mean, I can see myself. I mean, it's stuck. It's there.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, I turned 40, then I opened my own place finally, and. And the rest is, as they say, history.
Yeah.
Michael? Well, it's one of those good addictions. I mean, food's a good addiction. It's healthy. And
it's provided you're doing it right.
Yeah, provided you're doing it right.
But how much has it evolved? I mean, let's go off onto an area of maybe something you might be more familiar with. I know my wife is, because that's all she does is watch these, the bar rescues and the food channels, the food networks. You know, people are cooking. Then, you know, all these shows where, you know, if you follow recipes, you could literally open up and do your own place, just following recipes or collecting recipes, gathering recipes from the internet.
Yeah.
But does that make you a restaurateur?
No. No, I don't think it does. I don't think it does. Primarily what I'm looking at is the food preparation, the culture that comes behind the food, and the different techniques of cooking. The festivals here, we just had a festival at the Greek church here, and that's always fascinated
huge.
Me.
Yeah,
today, this year was the first year I ever went to it, actually.
Did you like it?
We did not stay too long because I had the kids and they were getting kind of bored, but they were all amazed at the amount of food and walking through and looking at the pastry cases and all of that, the baklava and all the other Greek names I can't even pronounce, but I mean, really cool stuff.
Yeah, there was roughly, I think, 80,000 pieces of baklava that was prepared for the festival this year. So it's an ongoing thing, and it's a growing thing. So
yeah,
always good.
What are some of the, well, and I know you said culture, but man, I've seen through the post of how much really is in this city that I guess 10 years ago either was here and you didn't know about it or just wasn't even here.
It was here, I believe, but just in the last couple of years is when I started noticing a lot of things. And about 6 months ago, just decided I'm going to put it on a page and just let others who don't know about it, let them see what's out there and let them give it a try.
Yeah.
And it, like I said, it's grown. It's real. I'm real happy with it. I'm really actually overwhelmed with it right now from just, like I say, going from 10 to 12 people to 400 and 600 to 1,200 pictures and videos just in the last month.
Yeah.
So I keep thinking, man,
Michael eats out every day.
Sometimes.
Which it may not be, but that's what it seems like sometimes.
Sometimes,
you know?
I actually go into a place and get a card and look around and I'll ask somebody if I can take their picture or their food and...
And they don't mind.
And
huh?
They don't mind at all. Dude, they don't have any problem at all. So it doesn't matter. I've taken about a third of the pictures that's on the site from actually being out of place and just taking pictures of just random plates and random food. And but people don't mind doing it, and the owners don't mind doing it because they know it's advertising.
It's huge publicity for them.
It is.
So we'll have to go down to Nick's and take some pictures of Nick's feed.
We will. We will.
You better enjoy it.
We'll be down there.
You better enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, right?
It's one of my – I've been here twice. It's a really good place.
It's interesting. 12 years ago when I opened – geez, 12 and a half years, almost 13 years ago, I opened up that place, and there was a
– God, have you really been there that long?
It was 12 years in April.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so it's about 12 and a half, a little over 12 and a half years. And back then, Paula Fox was a crapshoot.
Yeah.
They had just finished remodeling the streets and the sidewalks. And, you know, there was a couple of gallery nights and there was a couple of the parades, stuff like that, but nothing as what you see now.
Yeah.
Nothing
sure.
Back then. 12 years ago, I mean, wow. And then opened 7 days and seven nights. Sometimes, but that's the nature of it. And most of the cities, the suburban sprawl had stopped right at the turn of the century at around 2000. And then everybody started rediscovering their waterfront warehouse historical districts downtown. And they created entertainment districts. People like us and myself that, you know, took a chance and started the ball rolling in numerous cities.
Yeah.
And it's created what is created now, what you see now down there.
Well, you know, and I know Birmingham was one that had a huge, where they did that. They went down into the industrial side of the city and revitalized all those pieces that weren't being used. My dad and I traveled to London quite frequently, and they have done the same thing over there, except they're turning all the warehouse and all that stuff into flats. They're taking all these really cool old historic warehouse buildings, flats, and then down below you've got all these little cafes and all these little restaurants, and so, you know, you got a road that's got 30 different restaurants on it and it's all got flats and stuff above it. I mean, that's what they're doing now. Right. Which I think is a great reuse of space.
Well, yeah, this is what's happening in most of these cities around the country. The same thing. They created the entertainment districts. Now
they're you got to feed them.
Now you're going to that next step. Obviously, like you said, the galleries, the boutiques, the cafes and stuff like that. Now you've got real estate ventures that are coming in to, like you said, redeveloping these other warehouse spaces, making livable spaces out of them. And, you know, it's just that constant evolution of what started as, you know, barren, desolate areas. What are we going to do with this? To now everyone's crying and, you know, scrambling for a spot.
Yep.
To do anything.
Yep. Yeah. And it's growing almost faster than it's ready to grow.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, you know, there's, you know, if you could take, Pensacola for an example. I mean, once again, this is a small market city.
Yeah.
As much as it is growing and bustling and one of the last untouched parts of Florida or the Gulf Coast, you could say, is it overgrowing? Is there an over, saturation of?
Yeah. Is the bubble going to pop?
Pop? No, I don't think, you know, the bubble make it, you know.
I don't either, no. Not for a while. I don't think it will. No. No, but it's grown in the last 20 years. There's, like Nick saying, 20 years ago, if you went downtown after a certain part of the day or something, it wasn't really good. And now you can't go down there now and just enjoy yourself. You can go down there and just any time of the day or night, if you go to the Sanger or go to the ballpark, you're pretty much safe. And our leadership, I think, for the city is a little more progressive in the last couple of years as far as reaching out to the community and trying to
figure
out what they want to do that's going to be good for the city and also good for the people that live here.
Yeah. Good problems to have.
Always good.
Yeah, sure. It could always be worse.
It's a good problem to have. I mean, you could take a number of different issues and it's, and you know what, in the end, right or wrong or which direction you go in, always a good problem to have when you have problems like that. The worst problem is how to fill something, or when you have the problem, but what are we going to do with this area? We don't have too many of those problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, everybody's jobbing for a spot.
Yeah. Everyone's gobbling up the last remaining spots.
Look at the empty real estate.
Suter's done, you know, with the old PNJ building, you know, God bless him. I think the one spot we do have down there, they still can't figure out what to do with, is across from the ballpark, the old Stig factory.
I heard some stuff was getting ready to go in there.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard something, I'd be able to buy it.
That's how Pensacola works. And the next thing you know, they're digging holes and laying pipes. So, you know, it's bound to happen. I mean, that's prime property.
Oh, well, of course. Know? Sure.
And you got huge traffic with the stadium and stuff. I think we could all use a couple more restaurants and bars. I mean, I don't know about you guys.
You can never have enough of those.
Exactly. You know, you might want to open a second location, Nick. You know,
I'm going to be opening a different location.
A different location.
That's because, you know, obviously that's the.
Well, maybe they're just waiting for you, man.
They're not waiting for me. don't wait for me. Boy, you're easily misled.
You'll be there all day, huh?
If you're waiting for me, you're easily misled. So
right on.
You know, yeah, eventually I'll be out of where my location only because of a venture that came in and bought up the city block.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. That's progress. That's, you know, that's sure. Moving forward.
Unfortunately, you're on the other end of
real estate moguls. Yeah. Well, yeah. The, you know, somebody buys the entire city blocks from people. Yeah. Some people are going to suffer and some are going to
thrive.
Thrive off it eventually in the end with, you know, new development in the same location.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because when I set out doing the Foodie Life brand and started just thinking of all the things that I have seen and done in the hospitality industry, there's also so much that's on the business side, like we're talking about right now, that you don't even think about. You know, you see the chef shows, you see the whole restaurant disaster or the whatever it is, the Chopped, or I'm rolling my eyes as I do this stuff, you know, the glitz and the glam and all of that. But on the backside of all this is every other hardworking entrepreneur who had some form of dream or vision and is back there. I mean, you're the banker, you're the bookkeeper, you're the payroll guy, you're stocking the bar, you're mopping the floors, you know?
There's a lot to it. You walk into a place and you're like, oh, this is great. I'd love to have a place like this. This is great. This is the kind of place. It's like, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it takes a takes an army. Sometimes it's a one-man army.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, sometimes it's just you.
You know, the cooking, the recipes,
yeah.
Your menu,
yeah.
You know, what you're going to do,
control,
and how you're going to do
ordering.
It. Yeah. Then, of course, you know, everyone wants, you know what you should have on your menu. You know what would be great. You know what, of course, I've got just a little sports bar.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to keep it to a sports, to sports fair. And I got a 3-page menu, everything from appetizers to dinners.
Sure.
And then say, why don't you, or this would be great.
Yeah.
You know what?
We should try this.
I got an idea for you.
This would be nice.
When you open your own place.
Yeah. You can put it on your menu.
Put it on your menu. That's it.
Yeah. You know how many times we wanted to drop that line? Well, as we all grit our teeth here, but what do you think, and this may be putting you on the spot, but give me one of your most outrageous stories of opening your place, or from concept to the end, what do you think was one of your toughest days?
Well, in the beginning, when I opened up New York Knicks, we were open 24 hours.
Downtown?
Downtown, and there was nothing down there. I mean, you had Trader John's, and God bless.
Wow, I forgot about Trader John's.
Trader John's was there for 50 years. Now look, there's a monument in front of his, a marker in front of his building. I'll be lucky if I get a brick. I have to buy my own brick. New York Knicks was here out in front of the place, But back then, I was open 24/7. And there was people coming in. It was just like, I'm there, I'm open. It would be great now. I think it would be a great idea for something like that. Maybe someone's going to listen to this and someone's going to do it and try and turn something into 24/7 or open up at night and only open up at 10 o'clock at night till 10 in the morning.
There's a place like that in New York, and I want to say it's called like the Blue Plate or something, but it does not open until 2 a.m. when all the other chefs and restaurant guys are getting off, and then it closes again, I think, at like 9 a.m. Yeah. But it's just that.
That's
for
it.
All those hospitality guys that can't get off late when everything's closed.
Hotel people, bar, restaurant, police officers, anybody who's got the third shift like that. Exactly.
Yeah, that wants to eat. And I think that was the whole concept was they were doing really good, not just Southern, but really good like home-cooked food. And it was all Blue Plate special style. So it was like $6. You'd come in. You could get a beer, or a drink. You could have an awesome meal, at 2 or 3 in the morning, which for us guys at restaurant, that was prime time, man. We were ready to go.
Yeah.
We were getting off work. We were smelling like all hell, but, we could go get a drink. I mean, it was time to go out and kick back, and it was sunrise before any of us were thinking about going home. That was a perfect concept.
There's a market for it. Whether there's a market for it downtown, and I don't know what happens downtown at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock.
Anymore?
Anymore? every hour of sleep is cherished, but it's been done.
Yeah,
it can be done. Whether downtown is the area, there's so many people. Everyone, if they're scattering and getting out of downtown, since there's not a lot of people living down there at this point. Then it's a tough concept to pull off.
Yeah,
it could be.
There's a lot more of the living structures getting put in. I mean, all this new construction that's come has got lofts and stuff up top for.
Yep.
I know when we were looking for a place for Radio X, there were a couple of spots down there that had like one bedroom apartments and stuff in it. And I was like, oh, this would be sweet, but I have some establishments of suburbia that I have to keep for the kids and all that good stuff.
Uh huh.
So.
I don't know,
Well, so far, Waffle House has done real well with it, 24 hours, but.
And everyone knows Waffle,
Once you've had everything on the menu,
That's it, you've had it.
You've had it.
So. And what's funny is I still have friends that have never been to a Waffle House.
Yeah.
Because they're either so far up north or just in states that, either Waffle House or Huddle House. Was never a concept for them.
No.
It was Denny's.
Or an option.
Or Shoney's.
Or IHOP.
Yeah, or IHOP.
Yeah.
Shoney's. Wow.
Yeah, when's the last time you heard that?
Well, Sambo's. Remember the old Sambo's back then. Remember they had to get rid of that because of the connotation, but that's a different radio show.
It's all just a different subject matter, huh?
Wow, Michael, that's right. It's interesting. Everyone's got their ideas. I've got ideas. I got all the time, and then people come to me with ideas. I saw this. We incorporate that. this is the next, this should be the next big thing, but it's, you know, you got to hit the nail on the head. And if you don't, you know, in 6 months, your lights are out.
It's all about
investment
timing.
Capital.
It's all about timing and capital. And like we were talking about earlier, people go into places and they see all the grandeur and they see all the nice stuff on the walls and the food, and they don't realize the work that goes into it.
Yeah.
You got an 8-hour shift, but it might take you 16 hours of prepping to have a successful 8-hour shift.
Well, just running around, just, you know, if you're going to Sam's, if you're going to Sam's to pick up stuff, if you're going to the bank, if you're, you know, all the other stuff that's involved, like you said, and then the prepping of the food, you know, the cooking of the food, and the after, you know, in the after, everything, they see a half hour TV show.
It's the truth. I mean, you pop it off for dinner hour for 4 hours a night, but you got 5 hours on the front end and 3 on the back. Mm-hmm. You know, just to make it happen.
Provided everybody shows up
and is sober and is not doing something stupid on your dime and your clock.
There's another show.
That will be another part of this show, I can tell you. Maybe not in this station, but at some point. I think that is probably the biggest thing I've taken away from my culinary career, is that if you don't expect it, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Anything from all that I just mentioned to things that I never, ever thought would happen in my life, I've seen happen in a kitchen.
Geez, if I could limit it to just the kitchen, I'd be happy. The kitchen, the floor,
the bar, the hostess stand.
I got a sports, right? Perfect example. Last week, there were two football games that went late. Just a football game in a 200-person sports bar, and it overlapped in the beginning of another football game was starting, and a lot of people were waiting for it. Well, where's the game? Okay, I literally got on the microphone in my bar and turned down all the sounds and turned up. Now hear this. The game you're looking for is on the exact same channel that game is on. They're not going to turn off the end of Michigan State so they can watch your marching band start going across the field.
Right.
Your game hasn't started yet. It's on the same channel. That's just one of the little many things, and it's part of the running of a restaurant. Of course, it depends on what type of restaurant you have.
Yeah.
You know, then again, let me ask you, perfect. You got me thinking about something, and I'm going to ask Michael this as well, because Michael maybe have something. You know, you got restaurants and a lot of restaurants with chefs that are trying new things. It's like bartenders with trying new drinks, mixing this and mixing that. And, you know, it's not a martini just because you put it in a martini glass. that Sex in the City show. They put a Cosmopolitan. They strained a drink into a martini glass, and the girl was arguing with me. That's not a Cosmopolitan. Well, yes, it is. That vodka, triple sec, and cranberry juice. But it's not in a martini glass. Oh, you wanted it in a martini glass. Yeah. Let me look at her 6-inch heels. You know, and of course, I'm not trying to get down on any of the customers, but, you know, things like that add and make things a lot more difficult for normal things. But let's get back to what I was trying to get to, was about chefs and restaurants that have, they change their menu constantly for new stuff. And I don't know if they're making up names as they go along. Was there an Asiago cheese 10, 15 years ago? Was there a Chipotle cheese 10, 15 years ago or anything?
I'll have to say, yes, there was an Asiago. I don't think there was a Chipotle.
Okay,
but to us, it was still just Parmesan.
Just Parmesan. Okay. Just a fancy Parmesan.
Making up names, but that's not what I was getting to was like for dishes. Like, you know, with tap beer, if you go to World of Beer, you know, and they got all the beers that you don't understand or don't know about.
Sure.
They'll give you a little cup, a little sample of the beer. You get the taste of beer. Why don't restaurants do that with meals and the special of the day they're trying to sell? Because I've been to numerous places, and I'm going to spend $25-$30 for a plate.
Yeah.
Geez, I hope I like the thing. You know, if I don't, I'm not going to send my food back because I didn't like it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But
you ordered it. You took the risk. You don't like it?
I don't do that anymore. Yeah. I'll go somewhere. I like finding something that I don't have on my own menu.
Sure.
I like to go out and eat something, you know, but it's hard to take a chance on a meal.
Yeah.
Look at it and, okay, well, it sounds good. The chef made it. They got the great chef there. And then it comes and I don't like it. I won't eat it. I'll still pay for it.
Yeah.
I won't like, but this is where I've gotten to the point now.
Okay.
Why don't they send out samples?
I've actually, since I've had my page on, I've actually started doing that. Yesterday I did that. I was out
asking for samples.
And I asked for a sample and they brought it to me and it was good and I ordered it. So most of the time they will, if you ask them. I found that to be true in the last few months. Because like you say, the menus have changed around. They do take a cheese and they turn it into three or four different names over the last two or three years. And it's the same cheese. Same thing with different meats. They change the name of meats. Now you don't just have a chuck eye steak. You have a marinated eye steak.
Dry rub.
But they will.
Dry aged, dry rubbed.
There are a lot of local chefs that I know that are happy to bring you out a sample if you'd like to have one. They're happy to do that. And they're happy if they like it. If you let them know they like it, then that kind of helps boost them a little bit and they keep it. But like you say, there are a couple of places that I do go where it seems like if I go about twice a month, they have a different menu. Or they don't keep something that's been on the menu that's a good sale.
Isn't selling. Or that is a good sale.
That's a good sale. Yeah. They change it just for the sake of change and not for the fact that it's doing well on the menu.
Yeah.
You know, if you're creating something and it's just the chef special or something, I go out, I don't want to bother and I try to go incognito and not who I am. And I just want to go take my wife and my daughter and, you know, it's part of the perks of people knowing who I am, whatever. And that's my cross to bear, but I want to go and I want to just order off the menu.
Yeah. You want to be just a customer
I want to order off. I don't want to bother the kitchen. I don't want the Burger King menu. I don't want it this way, that way. Can I get this? Can I get that? For the love of God. And then you got a laundry list, all your ingredients.
Yeah.
Because then you bring out a perfectly good homemade quesadilla and it's nothing wrong with it. Oh, I didn't know it had onions on it. Well, if you weren't texting on your phone and taking selfies while you were ordering, you would have read the menu and not just ordered a quesadilla and you could have said no onions and send it back and I get another one. Well, what is something wrong with it? No, I just don't want onions. Well,
I have always been in okay, so I've been the chef.
Here we go.
I've been the chef. So a couple of things, actually. And one of the things I really loved about when you knew you were in a good place when it came to food, whether it was a high-end restaurant, low-end restaurant, or what. But so you order something because you wanted to try something new, and you didn't like it. And you knew you were in a good place or you had a good server when the server would notice that. And then they would say something wrong or ask you and you could say, well, no, I just wanted to try something new and didn't like it, that they would take that back from you. They would offer you something else. You know what I mean? That's when you know you're in a good place or you're at least got – I think to me that's the difference between
– That's the difference. You just said it.
That's it.
And, you know, if I just didn't like it or there's nothing wrong. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it. That's fine. And, you know, I'll be more than happy if you didn't eat it. If you eat three quarters.
Yeah.
I just thought of something.
The one that eats the whole plate and says, I couldn't stand it.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You were asking about a story. Okay. I got one. Now I thought of one. I just remember.
Yeah,
one.
I knew we started.
I had
memories.
A girl. Wait a minute. Wait for it. Three quarters of the sandwich was gone and I had a girl. And thank God for cameras.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I didn't see her do this or anything like that, but what had happened is she came back and said there was a hair and she found a hair in her sandwich 3/4 of the way. Okay. Hang on just a second. I went back into my office and I saw her on the camera. She had been trolling.
Oh, nice.
Twirling her hair.
Her own hair.
And sure enough, she got one and she laid it down and she literally took the time to lay that hair inside the edge of the bun right there.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It happens. It has.
It happened. Happens all the time.
I told her and I pulled the bill over. I said, as soon as you can pay this and as soon as I can, you know, take appropriate action. It's called defrauding. The old adage. Defrauding an innkeeper.
Sure.
It is.
Sure.
They will do that. There are people. So. Now, of course, that's an extreme. But I remember.
But those are the stories that I wanted to share. Those extreme things that happen because I try to explain to people who either have not worked in restaurants or the hospitality industry, or did it so long ago that they're very detached from it? So, and I try to explain some of these things. Yeah. They look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, no, I cannot make this stuff up.
They will. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, okay, I got a good one that happened. there was a time when, I owned a restaurant and, I had a lady, very, very nice lady, call me one morning, probably one mid-afternoon. Her and her husband had been in and they had had, sort of a brunch breakfast kind of thing. And she called me later that day. She said, oh, my husband has been just terribly sick with food poisoning and I want to know what you're going to do about it. And of course, in the restaurant world, those are like, I mean, you might as well call World War III. Those are the two words that you never want to hear, let alone somebody actually have it or get sick from it. Of course, now you hear about it all the time, but this was 15 years ago when it just wasn't as much as it is now. So of course we had protocol. I had sheets ready to go. So if you ever got that phone call, you had, you know, these five or six questions to ask the person calling in. So I start going down the list. Okay. Well, you know, what time were you in? And they were in maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours before we were. So, okay. I'm thinking usually it takes longer than that to feel, you know, it's usually 4 to 6 hours before you start getting food. If you've been food poisoned before you start getting sick. So we keep moving through the questions and I said, okay, well, did he have anything else to eat this morning before you guys came and, you know, patroned at the restaurant? Well, you know, he did have a glass of orange juice this morning, which we found it was bad and sour, but I don't think that had anything to do with it. I mean, those were literally the words out of her mouth. And I said, ma'am, at this point, you just need to keep me up to date on what they find out. But the fact that you just told me you had a whole glass of orange juice that, you know, was rancid and bad, you know, I was like, come on, seriously, you know, so I feel you. I've seen it. I've seen the hair trick too.
Oh,
you know,
the to-go orders, and they come back, they call it. Well, and I had somebody who said they had two quesadillas that were burnt, and we have a limited menu on Gallery Night.
Sure.
And they said it was to go when we got back to the hotel. And well, they came back the next day. And number one, they said they paid cash. Well, no, they said they paid credit card. There was no credit card transaction.
Uh-huh.
And we don't even serve quesadillas on Gallery Night.
Glad you mixed up with somebody else.
No,
huh?
You might have got it from somebody somewhere else, but it wasn't here.
I mean, that's pretty good.
You know, going back to the kitchen thing, and you know, my recipes and my menu is pretty much, you know, 90% homemade. I don't make my own burgers, obviously. I buy Angus burgers. I don't make my own chicken or cheese sticks and stuff like that. But, I mean, I do my own breading. I buy my Italian breading and I add things to it.
Sure.
But the menu has stayed pretty much the same for the 12 years. And I've even asked the guys that I know, the owners of Sidelines, and they got a sports bar.
Yeah.
And
I don't think their menu's changed once.
And they said they drop or add one thing, maybe, or say it's a sports bar.
We
perfected our food. People love the food, and we don't change it. People ask me why I don't change my menu all the time. It's because it's a sports bar.
Yeah.
If I had a different type of restaurant, I may change things in, things out.
Like, but you're right. When you go to Butch football, you want nachos, or you want wings, or you want.
And I got the food. Now we're getting into the point where you can name six other different sports bar type places that are corporate. You got the Twin Towers.
Close enough.
I don't begrudge any of these places because these places obviously started with one place. Look at Hooters 35 years ago. Started with the concept.
It was just one.
And the food. And they now look at what they have. But most of these places now, and I know what they buy. I know what they buy from the food distributors.
Yeah.
You know, most of the stuff at this point is now, it's all pre-something.
Right.
Exactly.
Pre-packaged, pre-weighed,
pre-frozen.
You know, I heard about, I'm not going to say the name of the new chain, or the chain that actually built a new building over there off of a major corner. And they said the kitchen had 11 microwaves in there and 10 deep fryers.
Yeah.
Wow.
What does that tell you? Mm-hmm. What does that tell you?
And, you know, you can sugarcoat it and you can pour Asiago sauce or whatever you want on these things, but it's coming out of a package. Now, it may be good.
This is where your thesaurus comes in handy.
Right. You know, I could do that at home. I could open a package and pour some stuff on it and make up a little special sauce.
Yeah.
But you want to go out, geez,
Yeah, well, you go out, you want to get something you can't cook at home.
Yeah, I want to get something.
Or something different.
Or at least it's prepared at it's prepared there.
Yeah, it's not made somewhere and shipped in frozen.
Which is what I think Michael's found a lot of.
Or fresh DiGiorno.
A lot of that.
I've
seen lots of that.
Yeah.
Fresh DiGiorno.
Fresh DiGiorno.
I think that's right down close to that other place at the corner there, yeah.
But, you know, so that brings me back to the other piece that I was going to say is, as the chef, one, I was a huge advocate for show plates. Now, I know it died out there, you know, either in the window or, you know, you always had the person that rolled up with the dessert tray. Well, unfortunately, the chef wasn't smart enough to change it out every hour or two. So by 10 o'clock dinner service, you're looking at something that's been out there since 5 o'clock. But I was a huge advocate for the show plates. People eat with their eyes, right? They always wanted to see that.
Wait a minute. Okay. Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, let me ask you something. I'll ask you, Michael. Okay. Are you an advocate of putting pictures of your food in your menu?
I would be.
What about the person that looks at that the middle of the Alabama Auburn football game with 200 people and standing room only, and then that food comes out and they'll open up the menu
and it doesn't look the same.
This doesn't look like that.
That's true. That is true.
As much as I'm proud of my food and stuff like that, you know, it's. Yeah.
Well, there was a time when that was huge. Yeah. I mean, there was a time when I want to say late 90s, that's what you did.
You're looking at the menu, you're looking at the picture.
Well, it was, you know, twice the size of the table. You got your arms spread trying to seat five, you know, but you're right. For just that reason now, most people, and I even found now, I love it when it's a one page menu and it's printed on paper. Because, you know, if it changes often or they're able to adjust or, they get a different ingredient or whatever. I love that when I walk into a place and I see that because I know that it's, and I'm not saying sports bar stuff, but, right. You know, a finer dining place. And you walk in, you got the one-page menu and you're like, okay, this is cool because I bet I can come back in 2 weeks and it's not going to be the same menu, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I found on the food guy thing is that if I post a picture from a restaurant, and it's the food from the restaurant. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And if somebody sees it, that's what you're going to get. Yeah.
Now Michael's going into that restaurant.
With what he ordered.
The plate's coming to the table, and he's taking a picture of that.
Exactly.
Not what Red Lobster.
Or these Chinese places that you see on the wall.
Wait a minute. Order by letter and
order
number.
Order by number and number. There's a picture.
What about the Rockin' Hot Chick that's from Hardee's that's got that, you know, that bacon, the Baconator. That's Wendy's. Oh, yeah. Okay, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. She's got that massive burger in her hand.
Yeah.
And she's slobbed. You know, she's doing, you know.
Yeah. I still have not had one of those burgers.
I have not seen one yet.
Well, I've had them, and they're not what they look like, I can tell you. Plus, they don't come with a girl, so.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking false about. Advertising.
Either the commercial or the picture in a corporate chain restaurant's menu.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting to as far as that. Yeah. That's why I don't put menu pictures. That's different what Michael's talking about, taking pictures
on the plate. Actually, as menu, it's come to you, as it's, you know, been served.
And that's great. It's a great social media tool, too. Because I do that with my stuff. Every once in a while, I'll take a picture. Okay, today's.
I noticed that on some of the Yelp sites where a lot of the restaurants will post pictures of the food. That way, when you get there, you know what you're looking to get.
Yeah. Or the customers will post pictures of the food. Urban Spoon's really big.
They're really big.
There's another show in itself, or maybe it's this show. What about these social media sites? You know, they're calling my restaurant by the day. They want me to pay money.
Yeah.
To remove the bad stuff. I said, well, I got, you know, 5,000 reviews in 12 years and I got 19 people that didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then they want me to,
something's going to look weird if you don't have one bad out of 5,000. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And of course, some of them are directed personally toward the owner of the restaurant. Well, the owner's running around and being the manager at that time. When you came in on gallery night the owner was rude. Well, no, the owner wasn't rude. He's running his business, he didn't, you know, and you try and stop. But these sites now, they want to charge. And of course, they got a back room full of people that are adding more stuff. If they got you and you start paying, they're going to start, they got people that were never there. They're going to start posting more bad stuff and they want you to keep on paying.
Yeah.
I said, no. Let the bad stuff stay there. Yeah. Now they got restaurants that are welcoming. They want you to post as many bad things. I've read about these places too. because they're fed up with Yelps and Urban Spoons and TripAdvisors and everybody else and all these other things. When I go out of town, I'll give you another example. I go to a concert, I'll go to a sporting event, and I go out of town, I check into a restaurant, I find somebody that I want to talk to, and right. ask them two things. Where's a locally owned sports bar? Where's a locally owned Italian restaurant?
Yep.
I'm not going by somebody else's experience or somebody else. Sure. You know what it's like? It's like Siskel and Ebert telling me, don't go to see Van Wilder because it was Animal House of the 90s done in sophomoric humor. Well, that's what comedy is.
Yeah.
So I want to see Van Wilder. I give Van Wilder two thumbs down.
Actually, I'm not going to listen to Siskel. Movie.
I know. It's funny. I'm not going to listen to Siskel and Ebert telling me what movie to go see and not see.
Yeah.
I look at the trailers. I'm looking at it. If it's, you know, it's comedy. Sign me up.
Yeah.
You know, that's the same thing with.
So.
Well, one of the tricks I've learned when I go out of town, if I go anywhere, is I'll ride around the day before or even that morning, and I'll look for eateries that have a lot of local vehicles there. That's the big thing. If you have an eatery that's got...
Yeah, you find somebody with the work trucks or the work vans, man, you're in good town right then.
I have local tags. You know that they got pretty good consistency.
So I've used my dad, who's probably the biggest TripAdvisor, because he travels so much. So he actually writes a lot of the reviews. And he does it. He was a lawyer, so he sold boards for a living. So he does it very critically to an extent because he does travel so much. And his have been very, in fact, I think some of them have had like 80,000 views or something. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm like, you should be getting paid for this, Dad. But he does it. But he uses it a lot. And I didn't use it until sort of he got me turned on to it. But for the hotels and stuff, because we would do a lot of road trips, so we'd end up in towns that, you know, you just didn't know. You know what I mean? But I'm with you. When I go somewhere or somewhere new, or even when we'd get there, we'd ask the people usually at the hotel because they obviously live there. Where's the number one place you go? I don't want to not where you send everybody. Where do you go when you close the doors at 11 o'clock at night to have a drink and a good time? You know, 9 times out of 10, you're gonna find the best place in town from the locals. You know. Same thing with food. Where do you go to get a drink? Where do you go to eat? And then from there, the cool part is that it probably is the most local bar or restaurant in town. And then you've met the rest of the locals. So any other question you've got on what to do or, you know, where the ins and outs of that town or whatever's going on, you get that there.
That's exactly, Keith. Exactly.
That's true.
You know,
Michael's in the middle. I mean, you got all the mom and pop places.
I got all the mom and pop places.
You got all the little local spots, man.
There's still a lot of them out there. We've got them out. I've got about 130 right now, local area, just local spots, just in Northwest Florida and Southwest Alabama. And there's still probably another 100.
Yeah.
That I still.
Yeah, I've been amazed at some of the places I've seen you put pictures from. I'm like, wait, where's that?
Where's that at? Yeah, it's some little thing right around the corner that, just a local place.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, it's got the best food usually.
Yeah.
You have all the tourist traps, but then again, it's like when you go to Mexico. You go to any town in Mexico.
Water.
Well, you always go about 2 or 3 streets off from the main street
for
the best food and for the best bar and for just the best place to meet people.
It's funny you said that too, because I remember taking a cruise to Cancun. You know, they got Senor Frogs and all that spring break nonsense there. And I think the first time I went, I got stuck in all the tourist trap stuff. The second time I went, I got smart and I went. And it was literally 3 blocks. Past that, man, had some of the best Mexican food I'd ever had in my entire life, from the salsa to the real tortillas to the meat. I mean, just absolutely blown away. And I think I spent maybe $4 American by the time I left there, and they had bottled water and beer. So
that's
all I needed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sure. And that, I mean, look, even New Orleans, you get off get off the beaten path of Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
That's where some of the best spots are off of Bourbon Street. I think
Frenchman is probably my favorite.
Well, let's get back. Let's go right around the corner. I think that's about to happen downtown.
Yeah.
Getting off the beaten path of Paula Fox because there's nowhere else to put something at this point. And it's. Now
it's expanding.
It's going to start the spider off.
Yeah. And here we are at DeVillers. We're just waiting for it to get here. we're here already. We knew. We saw it.
Yeah,
we saw it coming.
This place was smelling good when I drove in because you could smell Five Sisters and the Blue Dot.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, man, that guy's got a line out the door every morning.
He does.
It amazes me.
It's, you know, they have those places. Jeez, they got them up there in New England. I know there's a, they're on the board. The guy, they serve nothing but New England clam chowder
in a
homemade bread bowl. And you're in line. And the only thing you have to worry about is what kind of drink you're going to have. And you have to line, you know, what goes with that. And, you know, it's like the soup Nazi. You know, there's only one soup.
Yeah.
And this just is one. The soup. And you can't
this
get
is
it.
What with, you get today. And that's it.
That's it.
You know, man, my first experience, and maybe not my first experience, but the one I remember the most was at college in Tallahassee, which was Guthrie's. So, and I don't know if we still have the one here or not, but I mean, it was gut box or gut sandwich. You know, which was either chicken fingers or chicken sandwich. I mean, that was it. That was the menu. Line out the door. Yeah. Cars all the way down Pensacola Boulevard, like it was nobody's business, waiting for one or two things.
You know,
it's awesome.
If you get a small, you know, you find a small enough place with a, that you could do that and get something absolutely perfect where people are going. There's a couple things that I would do. If I had to narrow it down to two or three items, I know the two or three items that I would have, and that would be it. You know, depending, and now who knows what's going to happen next after New York Knicks has been turned into a breezeway. You heard it here first. Well, you didn't hear it here first.
You didn't hear it here first. He's trying to say it without tears too.
Hey, you know what? I was able to live my dream. I opened up my place.
Right.
I did it for that many years. And the next thing, who knows what's going to happen next? You know, a lot can happen in a year and a half.
So. Yeah, well, and you know, in the world of restaurateurs, at least you're not going out like whatever the statistic is. 90% of them do.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, and I'm not going out overnight either. Don't
yeah,
believe me.
Exactly.
There's going to be the 100 day. I'm going to get one of those doomsday clocks. There's going to be the 100 days of New York Knicks.
Countdown.
Wait till the end. Yeah. Let's put it this way. I think I'll be closing Paula Fox without barricades.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Somehow. Yeah. We're going to go out in style.
So the other thing that I've wanted to, from the chef side, say too is a huge advocate for the samples that we were talking about. If people get, I mean, you're right. I really wish more people would do that. But one of the things that I've noticed in my travels to London and the outer lying areas of, there's a place in London called the Borough Market. My dad and I would go there every Sunday, and it's like the Palafox Market on serious steroids.
Really?
So it's probably, I don't even know how many blocks it is because the streets are all different over there, but it's under this huge overpass, but it is, I mean, just any food you could imagine from almost any continent is in this market. So your Gruyere or your whatever we called it, the Parmesan, you've got 100 different kinds, but you've got the actual farmer there, you know, who's farming the cheese, cutting up little samples so you can taste it. I mean, you could literally, you walk around the whole place, you could eat breakfast in the morning without actually buying anything because they're handing so much stuff out. But one of the, as a chef, you're like, yeah, why would you not create something new? And then cut it up and throw it out there. Try it, you know?
Have a girl walk around, you know, even with a tray, have them come out of the kitchen with the table. Hey, this is our special of the day, or this is what you want. You know, try it. You put it in your mouth. Wow.
Yeah.
That's what I want for dinner.
Yep.
Yeah. Not what's written on it. You know, if it's written on a chalkboard, you can even list all the ingredients and stuff, but you still, sometimes you just can't,
you can't put two and two together.
Exactly. What's it going to taste like? And you look at it and say, well, then you're looking at, wow. You know, what do they do on those shows? Sometimes they say, okay, you got to create something using these four, and these four items have to be.
Yeah, you got 30 minutes to do it.
And you got 30 minutes to think of something to do it. It's like, well, wait a minute, man. I may not, you know, then you look at Ramsay's face. He wants to, you know, spit it in the garbage can.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't always work out. You know, it's the same way with drinks. You know, and of course, and you're half in the bag before you discover a drink that's got four different alcohols in it.
Yeah,
and mixes, and it's, you know, nine out of ten of them you're spinning out into the sink because it just doesn't mix.
Well, there is a grocery guy. You talk about samples. There is a grocery guy. He's one of my favorite guys here in town. He's up on, I won't say the name, but it's at 9th and Creighton, and he's always walking around giving out cheese and wine.
That's
his
forte.
And throwing stuff in your basket.
I usually walk out of there.
He's like, here, you want this. You know you do.
Yeah. My aunt came down about 2 years ago and went over there. She doesn't even drink, and she bought a case of wine because he was just so creative.
So creative. That's it.
And I think she still got it at her house. It hadn't even been opened yet.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, shoot. You need to bring it next time, man. We'll crack it open.
We can.
Yeah.
You know, but Okay, so in all of that, you know, funniness aside, which isn't really funny if you've been a victim of that, I guess I could say, but but you're right. I mean, you can go in. There's all this cool. I mean, especially as much as there is now. And I know the Palmbox Market's doing it, too. You can walk up and down there in the morning, you know, on Saturday and get samples of a lot of stuff that the people were cooking. And I found some really cool new products by doing that. You know,
geez, they do it in Sam's. They you know, of course, it's in a box. We'll try this. It's right over there on the aisle 13. But the homemade, you know, the homemade stuff, anything that's like that you would want to try and promote like that.
Yeah. Not just and customers love it, man. I'd see somebody, you'd see somebody's face light up. You threw an appetizer down at their table. And, you know, this one's on the house. Or try this until it was what you think. We're thinking about adding it to the menu and stuff. You know, I mean.
I've discovered meals and dishes just by accident. I remember a piece of grilled chicken, a marinated grilled chicken slid out of the tongs. We had a big vat of New England chowder sitting there cooling on the counter.
Yeah.
It slid out and the chicken just went right into
into the chowder.
We grabbed it out right into the chowder. We pulled the marinated piece of chicken out and put it down and everybody looked at it. And everybody licked their lips the same.
Like, I bet that's going to taste good. I bet
that's good. So now we discovered Chicken Nicholas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, drizzled with New England chowder. Who would have thought?
Some of the best things I've made have been happy accidents just like that. Yes.
I still remember that day when that piece of chicken came flying out of the tongs and turned around to get on the plate. It just went right into the chowder and just disappeared. We went in and got it out. I'm telling you, and it was sitting there drizzling. And we had it on the cutting board and looking at it. We're probably violating some health laws here.
But, wait. But, the chicken was cooked.
The chicken was cooked.
The chowder was cooked.
Well, who knows? The cutting board.
You didn't serve it. You ate it. So.
Wow.
You're good.
But that's how some of these things were created like that.
It is. The sandwich was created that way. A few hundred years ago,
Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah, he needed a sandwich while he was playing poker and wanted meat, so they just put it in between some bread, and there was a sandwich.
Yep, there you have it. I ate at that place down in, Downtown Disney, and so they have an actual Earl the Sandwich shop. I guess it's a chain now, but it's based on that concept of Earl created, and I had no idea, even as a culinarian, how the sandwich was created, or if I did, I certainly didn't remember it through my culinary career debauchery afterwards. But yeah, so and actually that place was really good too. But yeah, the dude was hanging out and just needed a vessel to you put it on, and next thing you know, you had a sandwich.
Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ketchup, mayonnaise, and relish.
Yuck.
And that was up in the Thousand Islands. I worked up in there my college breaks.
Yeah.
Up in the Thousand Islands in the castle where they made it. And you know. Who would have thought?
I want to know how they discovered ranch. Do you know that story?
I do not.
No.
I might have to Google that one for our next show.
I do not know the story of ranch dressing. I know the story of the Thousand Island dressing, being up there and working up there.
Yeah. Or the Buffalo Wing. I know that from
Anchor Bar.
Yep. That's it.
The Buffalo Wing. You know, who would have thought?
That was an accident too, wasn't it?
It was. Of course it was an accident. I remember, we used to, when we saw blizzards coming, we would hit the bar called the Bachelor's Inn, and we would hit the bar with a pocket full of money, and we knew we'd get snowed in for 2 days.
Yeah.
All we did, eat nothing but wings and drink beer.
Man, that sounds like a great day, doesn't it?
Eating chicken wings and drinking beer. And of course the names of some of the hot sauces, I remember somebody, you know, and somebody used to call them Freebay, mild, medium, hot, but then I get, you know, Three Mile Island, Chernobyl. Yep. Somebody called them.
I remember all those.
Though one of the places called them Freebase.
Yeah.
Until Richard Pryor, you know, lit his face on fire. They called them Freebase wings. And they would only, but these things were so hot.
You literally couldn't eat them.
Well, back then it was like $15.99. You get a pitcher of beer and you get a dozen of those wings.
Yes.
And you needed to drink that pitcher of beer while you're eating those wings because your forehead would sweat.
You're just sweating.
Your eyes are watering. Your nose is
celery
running.
And carrots just wouldn't do it.
Celery. Carrots, rabbit food, forget it.
Yeah.
That's how you know they were hot. You know, it was like an endurance test.
But it was one of those things that it not only was it hot, but there was flavor. So you couldn't stop eating it. You could not stop eating it because it tasted so good.
The original wing sauce was all it was butter and Tabasco, margarine, and I mean, and Tabasco, and how much Tabasco are you going to put in to make it how hot it was? Now you're getting real creative and the flavors, and I mean, flavored wing sauces.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though, the number one thing that keeps it real is no matter what sauce you're using, you got to put butter in it. You've to melt it down with butter and whisk it together.
Well, you know what the secret was? Originally, you know what the third ingredient, the secret to make it, because it would just drip off the wings. You know what made it stick to the wings was a pinch of brown sugar to caramelize it and make it stick to the wings so they would stay on the wings. And it's drizzling off. And you got a puddle of it in the bottom of your basket. The brown sugar, pinch of brown sugar in the soft would make it stick.
Huh. Yeah. I never knew that.
Well, now you know. See?
Yeah.
See?
I'll have to try that next time. Because I don't eat mine breaded. I eat them naked.
I don't know where. You know what? You know why they bread the wings? Because they bought the smallest.
Oh, yeah,
the little bittiest wings. They made them look bigger.
Yeah.
Breaded wings. That's not a buffalo wing.
No. No, you got to do naked. Don't
now, now you get me started. Now we're going
to get some good material.
Breaded wings.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. We're right on an hour. So, why don't we save whatever we got left for next time? I say next time's at your place after the bar's closing.
we could have some food brought out. I could tell you how I do my.
We could talk about a real wing, couldn't
how,
we?
How I could do? I could tell you how we do the char grilled wings the right way, and how we come up with char grilled wings and
we could drink
award winning. Yes, I got another award winning on some. Yeah. Geez, I got runner up on best French fries. Wow.
Wow!
French fries. I know.
You got runner up. Who got first
on French fries?
Yeah,
I didn't look and see.
I stopped at runner up. I'm good.
I was shaking my head on that one. I got runner
up. Nice.
They like my French fries.
Oh, awesome. That's pretty good. All right. Well,
French fries are good.
I'll tell you what. Let's let everybody know where we can find your Facebook page.
It's on Facebook. It's open. Yeah,
it is on Facebook.
It really is. Right for now, it is. It's the Northwest Florida Food Guy and friends.
Usually, if you start typing in Northwest,
if you just type in Northwest Florida, it'll pop in there.
Yeah. Like it. Free go site, see it. Share
free
it.
Free site. It's open to anybody.
Yeah, you let people post to it and all
whatever
that stuff, right?
Whatever you want to post, so, as long as it's food related, anything's good. I've got things posted from Korea, Australia.
Yeah, everywhere. Malaysia. I know I posted some from Colorado when I was over there in Utah.
Yeah, those are great pictures too. Great.
Those were fun restaurants too.
Yeah. So. And we're looking to, in the next couple of months, we're looking to do some video of some places and then maybe run it on Blab or WHEZ.
See if we can't get some traction, huh?
See if we can get some people promoted locally, because that's what it's really all about. These guys that are big, these big corporations, they've got plenty of advertising money. They got plenty of money for that. These locally places, they're good, so we need to make them a little bit better as far as promoting them.
Well, let's see if we can't maybe find somebody to do that with you.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
that's right. Eat local, shop local. That's and it.
Grow local. That's it.
Your turn. Where are we coming to find you, man?
Well, you're going to come downtown to it's New York Knicks. It's a sports bar, but even the food, we get awards on just the food as well. Even if you're not a sports fan, I got people that come there that don't care about sports. They come in because of the food, and they come over and over, and especially the char-grilled wings. So
yeah.
If you like buffalo wings, this is a whole new take on buffalo wings. No, it's not breaded. But the buffalo wings that are char grilled. This is a big thing that's going on. It's a whole new taste. You can take the order of buffalo wings and then you take an order of the char grilled buffalo wings side by side, and it's
a whole new flavor profile.
It's a whole new thing, and it caramelized and then throwing them on char grill.
Now you're hungry, right?
I know what I'm getting when I go back to the restaurant. But it's New York Knicks. It's downtown. And you know what? You better come enjoy it while it lasts, because eventually, sooner or later, the lease is going to run out. And when that does, that's the end.
But I'll tell you what, though, in all fairness, I'm looking forward to the 100-day countdown. I could see 100 days of New York Nick debauchery just to celebrate your life there.
The lease runs out April 1st, so 100 days starts at Christmas. So
oh, how perfect.
And right now I got a year and a half, unless something happens sooner. But if something happens sooner, we will start the countdown this Christmas for the last 100 days till the final four, and then it'll be over. But if not, it's going to be a year and a half from now. And yes, there's going to be we'll be taking a
wait, wait, wait. So we could turn the 100 days into 465 days?
I'm too old for this stuff. Mike, tell him what happens when we get to be our age.
Oh no, that's true. Yeah, very true.
Put everything in perspective.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, guys, I'll have all your links and stuff. I'm going to put on our website because we'll have this show up and running again so people can tune in it all the time. Guys, you can find us at Pensacola Radio X or Pensacola Business Radio on Facebook or at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for coming in today and talking some smack with me and exploring the life of hospitality and people that eat, you know.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Us here. Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Till next time, which I'm guessing is going to be at Nick's, and we'll let everybody know.
We'll
tweet it out or whatever, the Twitter, the Facebook, you know, what.
MySpace, Facebook.
Yeah, that's it, MySpace.
MySpace, Facebook.
So there you go. All right, cool. Well, guys, this has been Pensacola Business Radio, the Foodie Life inaugural show. And till next time, have a good time.